100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at one a day until the day I die.com. Weekly challenge, Sunday. I post a topic, you come up with the story. Exciting, isn't it? Well, yes, but you got to deal with my rambling and blah, blah, blah for a minute or two before I get to the stories, okay? Or not okay. You can skip ahead if you want. I don't know what the waveform looks like, or I don't bother with chapters in this thing. I probably ought to. Like, first chapter, my crap. Second chapter, your stories. How do you do that? Is there a simple way to do it? Can you do it with one button? You know, you just post it up in there, and it's like export to file. Can I do it in MP3 format? Or do I have to do it in that, you know, Macintosh AAC crap? I don't know. People have been downloading the MP3s for so long, it makes it easy. It's like, yeah, you gotta do this and that. I've been doing this stuff for, like, 10 years. With Audacity, mind you. Although, I do the final assembly, production, whatever you call it, through GarageBand now. Mac stuff. And lay it on there and put the telephone in the background so you can't hear all the horrible overtones in my voice. Scratchy and all that stuff. So if I'm a little out of it, I was at a wedding yesterday in Galveston. It's a 3-day weekend for me. I took Friday off. I would have taken it off anyway. Somebody that I worked with had died. And I keep saying the kid. He was 33. But this was, folks are going to say, you know, the few folks that knew him and work with me and actually listen to this crap. Keep calling him the kid. And I considered him an innocent, a bright light. Always happy, always smiling, and you know that means that there's something going on, but, this guy, all the shit that he'd been through, and looked at things, you know, we all could stand a little bit of that, and I posted up the story on Friday about, Johnny, and, yeah, there are folks that you feel like there's just something there and you want to remember. And I don't know, man. And I should be thinking about the positive, about, you know, Julia and Colin, and they're going to do great. And even in the church down in Galveston, at least two Tiffany stained glasses. And you can tell the difference between them. It's the striation and the layering of the cobalt blue that I usually look for. That's what my mom told me to look for long ago. She was an antique dealer. Well, you're always an antique dealer. You just, you know, pick up crap from here and there. Remember, the future is just the past in denial about its mortality. And, yeah. So we were down in Galveston for a wedding, and lots of traffic getting there. But, of course, you know, right after the ceremony, walking to the reception, we passed the chocolate factory. So, yeah, I've got a bear and coins. And, yeah, 1,000 calories later this morning. But at least I've got the Junior Mints. Coco. Man. This, and then Charleston Chew chocolate with a shot of Da Vinci sugar-free banana syrup. Oh, my God. Chocolate banana. Chocolate banana cocoa. Just bam. Wow. Don't just take my word for it. Go to that Sarah and Cassie's Nerdy Adventure. I'm sure that at some point they're going to say chocolate and banana cocoa. Okay? Just watch for it. So, I mean, don't believe anything I say. You know, you got to corroborate everything. We do stories on this thing. We've got Muncie leading things off. Norval Joe is early this week. He's got some sort of storytelling thing that he's going to. And that's cool. Folks going out and doing the storytelling thing. Me, I stay in. My sofa's too comfy. Jeffrey Fitcher. Richard. Deanne is new to the game here. So you'll hear it from her. Tom. Jerry's back after my lambasting with ham slices last week. Yeah, you know it's love when you can rip someone and be all, I guess, angry about it. I wasn't really angry. I was just like, oh, God, I'm so lazy. Do I have to do more steps? You know, poking a lazy tiger. And then Zach Mann's back. We've got Serendipity. Anima. So congratulations on the peer review up there. Lizzie. And Tura. I love saying that. Tura. And, David Letterman is wrapping it up this week. And I remember back when I was 8, 9, 10, I guess 10, we had one of those JVC VCRs, one with the bright color buttons, and learned all about time shifting because of Uncle Dave, because he was on so freaking late. And who gave a crap about Carson? But this guy was hip. He was goofy looking, but not. He was in a suit, but sort of, and sneakers, and you could see his socks. And, you know, he was breaking the mold with the crazy stuff he was doing. But it wasn't crazy. It was just so dumb. You know, the stupid Petricks, the Velcro suit, the suit of suet, the Larry Bud Melman stuff, and the self-deprecating humor, which, you know, I don't ever do. So I could say the end of an era and wow, but I haven't fucking watched him because he was such a celebrity suck-up for the last, 10, 15, 20 years. It's like, okay, more shit. You know, the same fuckers going from show to show promoting their shit. And it's like, who gives a fuck? You know, if I want somebody's opinions, I'll go to the bus station. At least they'll be interesting. And equally valid. Although I'm not going to the bus station. I will fondly have the memory of the bus stop that's at Richmond and right near the freeway there, 610, and the one right after there coming eastbound, and just someone had taken a dump on the bench, and it's like, this is community, man. So I've really rambled myself up into a tangle here. You know, the Unleashed Id, according to Matthew, I guess. How about I just let you get with the stories, huh? Okay, I'll shut up. Here's Muncie.
Greetings, Lebowski. Muncie here, Black Russian in hand. Ready to thrill and chill you with another 100-word story. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. Words Don't Exist by Christopher Monroe. I have no words. I mean, obviously I have words. I talk constantly. The sound of my voice is among the most soothing things that I've found in this world. And it's something I come back to time and time again to fill the gaping void that exists at the center of my life. Seriously, I love, love, love listening to myself. What I mean is, in this specific circumstance, no words exist to properly express the magnitude of what's going on. It's utterly beyond comprehension. I can't even begin to describe it. So yeah, this circumstance. Am I right? Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. And so it goes, Lebowski. And so it goes.
Hello, this is Philip Norville Joe Carroll of NorvilleJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 473 with a word that doesn't exist. I'm going to the LDS Storymakers Conference this coming weekend, so this is Monday, the day after the weekly challenge last week, and I'm sending in my entry because I'll be gone on the weekend. I just can't trust myself. So anyway, here's my story. I don't know what samodat is. It's my mama's word, but it seemed to change meaning. First time she used it was when I hid Brussels sprouts in my pocket. She said, "You like them sprouts? Good. I'll give you some modat," and made me eat the whole bowl. Next was when she hit me with a wooden spoon and I laughed at her. "You like that? Good, I'll give you some modat." She laughed until the spoon broke. Last was when she was dying from cancer and in terrible pain, and they gave her morphine. She said, "Good, you can give me some modat." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher here for week 473, and the topic is a word that doesn't exist. I've got two such words for you. My first story is called Gin Tonic. As I cleaned my father's attic after his death, I spied a leather-bound book. As my hand glided across its weathered surface, I was astonished to see a creature appear. "Bless you, for you have freed me from my imprisonment within those dusty bindings. I will grant you a gin tonic."
A what?
"Gin tonic. It's my own name. I'm a gin, of course, and my boon to you is a tonic, so..." He spread his hands. "Look, you get a wish. Think of something, and it will be so. Just be careful." What am I saying? You humans always blow it. I determined to keep my mind a blank until I knew what I wanted. All I could think of was the saying, "Don't think of an elephant." Yep, I am now the proud owner of an elephant. And my second story is called Zymoxic. Zymoxics. Zymoxics. That's 30 points for the word, triple word score, plus 50 for using all my tiles. 140 points. I win. I placed the tiles so the C was abutting the blank being used as an S in shoe. "Oh, come off it. Zymoxics isn't a real word." "Sure it is. See, the ZY prefix is from the Greek, meaning ferment, while mox is the same root as moxie, meaning courage. So zymoxics are fermented drinks, like beer, that may make you braver than otherwise." My friend bowed. "You win." See, I have a terrible vocabulary, but I started liking Scrabble much better when we stopped scoring by the rules and instead awarded points for the most creative whoppers told in making up definitions. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Good morning. This is Richard. And this week, I have a shameless plug. It's my bath plug. And some of the things it's seen, you would not believe. They'd make you blush. Absolutely shameless. I've got a story for you called A Word That Doesn't Exist. I intended writing a story about a word that doesn't exist, a creation of my own making, for which I could concoct fantastical meanings. Then I realised I couldn't write a story about a word that doesn't exist, because the mere act of writing it down would defeat my own argument. Such a word, no matter how contrived or meaningless, would then, nevertheless, exist. a quantumly physical type of word, if you will, whereby the mere act of observation suffices to change its inherent nature. Instead, I'll imagine it exists. And I'll imagine I'm writing an imaginary story about it. Well, I'm off to some more fevered imaginings. Until next week, goodbye.
Hi, I'm Deanne Charlton, spelled like Charlton Heston, and this is my springtime allergies voice. Since I know my way around a semicolon, I am an editor of books and articles, currently editing a science fiction novel, a short story, and a memoir. I rarely write for publication, except every once in a while for a grumpy guy somewhere in the interwebs. This 100-word story is The Impact, which seems to happen at the beginning, but is really at the end. The impact got my attention, and we never remembered what we had been talking about. Thomas's face erupted red when the airbag broke his glasses. With no fatalities, he joked for months when, unable to think of a word, "Hey, I have a head injury." Not I. I was unseated when I asked him, "How do you spell anthrasam?" He looked bewildered. "You know, the substitute for and," I insisted, drawing one in the air above my left shoulder. "It's with all A's, isn't it?" He replied gently, "You mean ampersand." My car, my world too, had wrecked. So that's it. I have steadily recovered my words, and I'm back up to my pre-impact 100 thou. But I always write out A-N-D now. For an example of my work, look up Cadogan's Gamble by Ron Fisher on Amazon.com. If you are interested in securing my services as an editor, give my inbox a jingle at dcharltonedits@gmail.com.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. Movement. Spate retakes the 26th position with 71 stories. Serendipity moves ahead of Justin the Space Turtle to become the 15th monkey. Richard becomes a triple gold monkey with an amazing 300 stories. Zachman is merely 2 stories away from triple gold. Speaking of 300s, Steve the Nuclear Man has been in the top 10 for 300 weeks in a row. Along with Phil, Zachman is just under 200. The current top 10 has an average of 333 stories apiece, having produced 33% of posted stories. In the chase for iron, Lizzie's at 89, Tura at 86, and Anima is at 33. In the iron, Jeffrey moves ahead of Tom, taking the 6th place. Chris is just under double iron, Z is just under triple iron, and your humble scribe is just under quad iron. But the reigning iron monkey will always be Phil, currently at 345 stories in a row. Story total, 7,605. Average, dropping to 16.24. And I've got 3 stories tonight. The first story, Baby Girl. I come from a large Catholic family, thus a pile of Christian names for my sibs, like Dennis and Chris. None of us had a nickname except my sister Pat. My father, who had a habit of making up stuff, called her Moogie Mog. "That's not a word," we'd say. Out came my father's fountain pen onto the paper he'd write in silver ink. "See, it is a word." "What does it mean?" we'd complain. "It means your sister." We'd all laugh and say, "That's silly." Years later, I came to understand the whole universe is Moogie Mog. And the second story, broadly accepted. I believe poetic license is too broadly implemented. If I was making up the rules, poetic license would be limited to creating words for orphaned expressions. Take the colors silver and purple. Currently, there aren't any words in English which rhyme with either. This oversight would be addressed under my new, improved rule. Let's start with the basics. Plover and serple, a type of beer and a way you drink it. On to the intermediate. Wilver and zirple, the movement of a cat on catnip. And last, driver and thurple, the head teamster and his brakeman. Have a milver lurple day. And the last story. My word. I have a word that doesn't exist, but it should. It is a lovely word, both in purpose and form. It is lilting on the tongue and parses through the air like a silver thread. It is cautionary and in the correct situation lends itself to a teachable moment. Not wholly foreign in structure, built from time-honored parts, it may be viewed as presumptuous, as anti-disestablishmentarianism, but I prefer to see it as precisional. I have written to the folks at Webster to add it to their lexicon. Sadly, deaf ears. Perhaps they too are suffering from hypercriticality. And there you have it. Good night, America, wherever you are.
Stars out in the morning and the still rustle of corn. What a good place to be born.
A good evening, Lawrence, and it is another beautiful night in Oklahoma. And here is my 100 words on a word that doesn't exist. The mob surged down the dirt road and up the hill. Their expression and the fire in their eyes was not now of friendship and love. Men, women, and children had picked up sticks and stones on the way from the town to Visitor Hill. To save himself, all Sam had to do was say one word. Problem was, in Sam's world, that word did not exist. How can you say something that doesn't exist? Sam looked up to the blue sky in heaven with his three eye stalks and wished for the return of the ship.
Hey, my Oklahoma, are you still?
This is Zach Mann. Why did you get arrested? The troll asked Matt. Verbal abuse of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share and Share Alike 4.0 International License. I hate that one, said the copyright troll. Matt pointed toward the third person in the cell, then said, I'm surprised you didn't eat him, just to stop the snoring. You've no evidence that my people still eat your people. Also, they haven't coined a term for what he did, but it involves shouting Vive la France every time he saw someone drinking a Mexican beer on May 5th. I couldn't eat someone who supports my current country's military.
This is Serendipity. And here's my story for this week. The verdict rang out in the hushed courtroom. Guilty on all counts. Before sentencing, the judge turned to address me with contempt in his voice. In all my years on the bench, I have seldom had the misfortune to preside over a case such as yours. Your crimes are abhorrent, in the extreme, and lack any shred of humanity. To torture, debase, and murder so many in such a callous manner is beyond comprehension. Yet what is far worse is that you are proud of your deeds. Remorse, it seems, is a word that for you simply does not exist.
Hello, it's Anima, and I hope you've had a great week. This is my submission for Weekly Challenge 473. I came across this entry in Fodor's Guide to Party Animals. Mumbolians. Typically nocturnal, but can sometimes be found in the late afternoon of a big tailgate weekend. Migrations occur in New Orleans between Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest and can be spotted in Las Vegas anytime. Breeding grounds. South Padre Island in the month of March. Distinguishing characteristics. Chameleonic. Often appearing aware of their surroundings until consuming one more sip of cocktail or the pills kick in. Then they slide off bar stools and spout incomprehensible gibberish. Early onset Mumbolianism is often seen at high school graduation after parties. Interesting. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you do not become a Mumbolian, unless you really want to. Until next week, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Lizzie here, and this is my story for this week. That word doesn't exist, Randy thought, suspecting Patrick, his neighbor, to be either under the influence or raving mad. Raving mad was a good option, considering that Patrick decided to fill his garden with truck tires recently. When asked why he was doing that, Patrick replied it was for the aliens to land safely in his backyard. Randy laughed. But where did you hear that word? Patrick, the neighbor, replied, from the aliens. Randy would remember this many years later. The mystery word meant hello, and it would be the first word Randy had to learn after the invasion. This is my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Tudor Brazoino here, with a story about a word that doesn't exist. I was chilling on a park bench when I saw the little green man. It was standing next to me and anxiously tugging my sleeve. "It is most important that you twongoop," it said. I answered smartly. "You must twongoop at once, or the Skrinnabels will yarrack," it said, jumping up and down with urgency. "Your universal translator seems to be on the blink," I said. "Twongoop!" it screamed again, and vanished. Then I looked up and saw the alien invasion beginning. So I twongooped, and the spaceships crumbled into dust. Either that, or the drugs were wearing off.
Take a trip with me to planet Z.
When two goons in cheap ill-fitting suits say that the boss wants a word with you, he doesn't want a word with you. You only have two choices. Is there taking you to the car? Run. Or run right then and there. I got in the car. It's a nice car. too nice for anyone to want to shoot anybody in it. Which is why they took me out in the country, out in the middle of a cornfield. The way the wind blew through the stalks, it was so beautiful. I barely heard the gunshot, or felt the bullet.
And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of a word that doesn't exist. I don't think I said that in the opening. Usually it's like, and the topic was, and I just got so into my own shit that I just skipped that part. You know, it's up on the site, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's probably in the ID 3 tag of this thing. Y'all knew about it when you were writing it, I think. Although Zachman's got troll in there. It's like, okay, that's last week. But you know what? Remember, the future is just the past in denial of its own mortality. So everything exists at once it's in the past. It's all in the books, man. The next topic is going to be cheese. And then after that, don't feel pressured at all. But it's the 10th anniversary of this podcast, not of the Weekly Challenge. The Weekly Challenge came about when 100 words or less, and Esman went tits up, and then it did blah, 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 and then Michelle was like, hey, let's bring it back. And it came back, and I was like, should I take 100wordstories.com, that domain for myself, or let them have it? Hey, let them have it. Yeah, that lasted long, and people were like, oh, we want to write more stories. Said, all right, let's do like a weekly thing. I don't want to do a goddamn daily thing. That'll flame out. Yeah, I don't want to do a daily thing because that'll flame out. 10 years later. Yeah, anyone smell smoke? So, that's it. I'll see y'all next week. Remember the Twitter, the Facebook, the plus, the LO, the this, the that. Let folks know, you know, hey, I wrote something for this. Or I'm listening to this guy ramble like a jackass. Come listen to this crap. But you want more rambling? Okay. So this thing on Drudge, okay, all the lefties tune out. Some dude hacked into an airplane while it was on it, although they built up a test bed. And got all the schematics and stuff, and they managed to affect the avionics of the plane from hacking into the entertainment center. Now, if you're a network designer and you have something so fucking secure that people could die if they fuck it up, what do you do? Well, you can put in a firewall. Those fuck up, especially if you leave the default passwords, which the airline did. You can physically isolate the thing, you know, like the cabin doors that weren't reinforced until after 9/11 because, oh wait, no, there were some airlines that did do it that actually gave a shit about security, and then there were the Ed Bradley reports and all that crap on 60 Minutes, and finally they did it because they were fighting against it because of cost. These are airplanes and airlines that will rip out seats and put in smaller ones to save money. They'll spend to save because, God knows, a $1,000 reinforced cabin door won't save a $70 million airplane from going down because someone kicked it in and, you know, shot the pilot or whatever the fuck. So, or beat the crap out of them with a stale chicken sandwich. Great, now there's going to be a 9/11 with a chicken sandwich, and I'm going to be blamed. Hey, he told the jihadis about chicken sandwiches. So, but the way most industries work, someone develops a safer X. The X industry lobbies against X due to cost. People die. Repeat 2 and 3 for a while. You know, let the bodies pile up. And then when it's hard to get into the room because of the pile of dead bodies, government mandates that the industry secure X, more lobbying against it, more people die, And then they finally implement it, and they do it wrong. Like, they install the doors upside down. Or they finally hire an Israeli to teach them how to do it right. The industry, like in commercials, will pat itself on the back for their wonderful safety record, except for that one little blip, you know, or those two blips, or holes in the ground in Manhattan. So, yeah, it's like, yes, we secure this. You know, it's insane when you see gas companies and gasoline companies on the TV say that they're clean. You know, cleaner, maybe, you know, getting the lead out, but clean? No, that's not clean. And even solar, I mean, you have to manufacture the things. You have to install them. You have to get the trucks to take them out. So that's not clean either. It's cleaner if you refine it and clean it and put all these additives. You're adding things in to make something cleaner. Yeah. Tell me how that works. So, this is the kind of thing that makes you not want to get out of bed until you realize that your mattress probably isn't safe either. So, that's it from me. Man, I had a lot stored up. Congratulations, Julia and Colin. I get sick of people saying the man's name first, you know? And it just... Colin's the kind of... You know, Colin and Julia, Julia and Colin. I love ending something on a consonant, okay? Simon, Colin. There. Get used to it. So... that was nice, and I'm glad that there was a lot of salad, although I did have other stuff, and let's not talk about the scale. So, thank you, and see you all tomorrow with another story, and then next week with cheese, and as always, even though I can't manage to do it myself, keep it brief.